Just after Judge Richard Leon cleared the $85 billion deal between AT&T and Time Warner, AT&T's lawyer Daniel Petrocelli talked about the court's verdict.
The government could present no credible proof in support of any of its theories. This decision was a sound and proper rejection of all of the government's arguments to stop this merger.
But the government says it could have presented that proof if the judge hadn't constrained its presentation of evidence. And it's appealing its decision, even though the deal is done. Joining me is Nicholas Economides, professor at NYU Stern School of Business. Nick, unsealed transcripts of the trial show that during private, the sidebar conversations, the judge repeatedly shot down the prosecution's arguments that he decided were repetitive or unhelpful in lines of testimony. Is that a strong argument that the prosecution is making?
No. I think that by itself is not going to be able to reverse a decision. I mean, it's true that the judge did not allow the government all the time the government wanted to present its case, but this actually happens in trials. I mean, it's up to the judge. I don't think that's enough to reverse a decision. What could make the difference is that the judge was pretty absolute in the rejection of the government's theory. That is, he said, the judge said, that the merger will not lead to any increases in prices to consumers. That's a bit extreme. And he, you know, to reject the government's position, the judge didn't have to conclude that. All he needed to conclude was that the increases would not be substantially reducing competition. But he went to the extreme and said there would be no increases at all in prices to consumers for delivered content for cable service. So that is something that is weak. So it is conceivable that the Court of Appeals will reverse based on that point.
What about the government's claim that the court ignored fundamental principles of economics and common sense? Is that in addition to what you mentioned?
I don't think the judge understood at all the government's case. Didn't understand the economics of bargaining. So that's why the government comes now to the Court of Appeals and says, look, I mean, this judge didn't understand the economics of bargaining. The economics of bargaining are an important part of mainstream economics. Therefore, you should reverse based on that. At the same time, to a large extent, it's the government's responsibility to explain these economics to the judge, who is not an economist, right? He's a judge. The government should have explained much, much better these economics of bargaining and how they apply. So one thing is how they apply. The other thing is what they are. If the judge completely ignored significant parts of economic theory, that would be grounds for reversal. On the other hand, if the judge understands the basic idea of economics of bargaining, but rejects the way the government specifically interprets the facts, that cannot be reversed.
Well, do you, from looking at the evidence, do you think that the judge didn't understand the economic theories?
I actually think that the economic theory went way over his head. Yes.
All right.
I don't think he understood it.
Now, AT&T's general counsel, David McAtee, said in a statement, appeals aren't do-overs, which exactly what appeals are. But what do you expect AT&T to argue in its response?
Well, AT&T is going to say, well, the judge understands the basic theory. He doesn't need to understand anything more than what he understood. And that, in fact, the interpretation by the judge of the various facts was correct. And, in fact, nothing bad is going to happen because of this merger. I mean, you have to keep in mind that the judge sided 100% with AT&T. So AT&T will find nothing wrong in what the judge said.
Mm-hmm. Now, so, Nick, the deal is already done. If the government does win, what will happen? They'll have to unravel the deal? They'll have to sell Time Warner?
Yes. I don't think when you say the deal is done, yeah, the deal is done on paper, but there is agreement between the government and AT&T that Time Warner will be, I think, until the end of February of 19, run as a separate company. So I don't think there is going to be anything that cannot be reversed.
So what are the odds that this will be reversed?
I would say the probability that the Court of Appeals will reverse this is small. I mean, I would say it's 10% or less. I wouldn't say that it's much more than that.
So they have to find an error of law. And if they find that there were a lot of inequities in the trial, might that be enough? Might that add up to enough?
It's hard to say. Ultimately, it will depend on whether the general theory of the government makes sense to the Court of Appeals. If they think, well, if we were the judge, we would really rule completely differently. There is this possibility, but usually courts of appeal try to be very specific to the case and try to limit their intervention to very specific actions of the judge.
Nick, do you see any signs in the market of reactions or the ramifications of this deal being approved?
Well, I mean, you have to keep in mind that somehow the market in the very beginning thought that this was a good deal for AT&T. I'm not completely sure. Suppose that there is no legal challenge and it goes through. Is it clear that AT&T is going to be able to run Time Warner? AT&T is a company that is great in engineering and has great lawyers, but they have no expertise whatsoever in running a company like Time Warner.
All right. Thanks so much, Nick. It's always a pleasure. Nick Economides, professor at NYU Stern School of Business. Thanks for listening to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. You can subscribe and listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and on Bloomberg.com/podcasts. I'm June Grosso. This is Bloomberg.